the book of Job, chapter 21. And everybody, if somebody besides you don't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with them this evening. And we'll look here in Job, chapter 21. Everybody, give me your attention now. Settle down. I'm not going to be long, so we'll be out here in just a little bit. So tonight, I thought that I would take just a little while and try to answer a question. One of the questions that every Christian asks themselves at one time or another. So if you'll give me your attention tonight, learn something. And the question that I'm going to answer tonight from the Scripture is, why do the wicked prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? For hundreds and thousands of years, people have asked, why does somebody living like the pure devil seem to have all the money and all the resources? Have you ever wondered that? I guarantee you, any thinking person in here has wondered that. You say, here I am trying to live right, can't hardly pay my bills, make it from week to week, month to month. And here, you know, you see these people on TV. They wouldn't give you air if you was in a jug and curse God and just seem like have everything a person could want. Job asked that question one time. Now, the book of Job is probably the oldest book in the world. The book of Job, the one we're reading right here, 40 chapters, a picture of the Great Tribulation. 42 chapters, probably the oldest book in the world. Job was probably written before Genesis. Did not happen before Genesis, but was written before the book of Genesis. There are several reasons for believing that. One is that in all 42 chapters, there is not one mention made to the law or the commandments that God gave. That would be almost unbelievable if the law had been written first. And there's some other things too that won't go into. But this question tonight has puzzled men down through the centuries. Job's friends had been accusing him of having sin in his life. They said, Job, if you was right with God, all this bad stuff wouldn't have happened to you. Now, sometimes sin in our lives does cause bad things to happen to us, but not always. Job was right with God. He was right with God as anybody ever had been, and yet all these bad things, it was a test that God put him through to prove. So we can't judge somebody and say, well, it's because of this and this, because of this and that. You better be careful doing that. I found out that most Christians, if something bad happens to somebody they like, they say, well, poor old thing, the devil's really getting them a fit. And if somebody they don't like, they say, see there, God's getting them. And you can't do that. You can't be the judge of why things happen to people. And so tonight, Job asked this question, and let's look at it in Job 21. Now, it may not be as exciting as some of my messages, but it will answer a great truth for you. You'll give me attention just for a few minutes. All right, verse 7, Job 21:7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Now you think about, when I'm reading this scripture, think about Donald Trump and Howard Stern and Paul McCartney and Cher. And, you know, and rock singers and these rap singers that have no respect for any. I mean, there's nothing more hypocritical to me than a rap singer preaching against slavery and then calls himself a pimp. Those girls are slaves of them pimps more than anybody's ever been a slave. So a man's a hypocrite that goes around saying, I'm pimping, and then says he don't believe in slavery. Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. And so their seed, look at verse 8. Now you think of Hugh Hefner, and you think of all these people, Donna. You think of especially old what's his name I mentioned a minute ago, Donald Trump. We'll talk about him more in a minute. Look at verse 8. Their seed is established in their sight with them. Hulk Hogan. And their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not a calf. That means she don't lose her kids. She has babies and her cows multiply. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, like old Rod Stewart's daughter, and like Lionel Richie's daughter. What's her name? Nicole Richie. And they take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. We don't need you. We desire not knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? Says Tom Cruise. Says Tom Hanks. Says Julia Roberts. What's the Almighty? What do we need God for? We can snap our fingers and have anything we want. And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? They say, why should we be praying? Amen? Now let's stop right there tonight and talk about why the wicked prosper. The greatest questions of life is, why do the righteous suffer and why do good people prosper? Somebody wrote a book on why bad things happen to good people. And somebody ought to write one on why such good things happen to bad people. That's a question. Did you know that Shirley Temple, many years ago, made her first $1 million before she was 10 years old? That was a long time ago. That was in 1934. If a girl made $1 million in 1934, what would that be now? $1 million in 1934 would be what? 20, 100, 50 million now? Nowadays, 50 million probably? Lord, I don't know. It'd be a lot more than a million. Before she was 10 years old, those little Olsen girls, Mary Kate and Ashley, were absolute millionaires before they could even spell million. And they grew up, I mean, on TV when they was like 3 months old and stuff. And what is it? They said there was 56,000 older women millionaires in New York City. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, and mighty in power? Paul McCartney made $57 million in 1 year in 1970. In 1 year. And he don't even believe that the Lord Jesus Christ... Listen to this. Al Capone brought in Notice I didn't say he earned it. Brought in $105 million in 1927. Man made $100 million in 1927. What would that be now? Many billions of dollars. He made $105 million, or he brought in, acquired $105 million in 1927. I heard about one of the world's greatest misers. I read about these misers. And misers are people that have a lot of money but won't never spend it. That's always puzzled me. I mean, what good is money if you couldn't spend it? I mean, I know some of you folks, says you ladies, I mean, it burns a hole in your pocket. You can't stand to have money. You've got to go spend it right then if you got any. But I'm not that bad. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't see what laying it up in a bank is going to do good to anybody. Amen? I'm telling you, Hetty Greer had $31 million in the bank, and her son had a bad leg and had to have his leg amputated and a medical service because his mama wouldn't help pay for it. $31 million in the bank. She lived off cold oatmeal because she wouldn't turn the stove on to heat it up. $31 million in the bank. Yeah, she's demon-possessed. He's crazy. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm going to preach on money here pretty soon, too, and tell you a lot about it. But tonight, why does that happen? I'm going to give you five or six reasons from the Bible why the wicked prosper, and you listen. Number one, wicked people prosper tonight, come old, and have a lot of, like Hannah Montana, whoever in the world that is. I kept hearing the kids say Hannah Montana. I said, who in the world is Hannah Montana? And then I found out that it was Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter. And the little girl about that high, and she's done her TV show. And old Billy Ray, he looks like Charles Manson in his younger days now. And he's really went downhill. And they have him on there and really make a big deal out of it. And Lindsay Lowdown and Harris and Donald Trump. I seen old Donald Trump of the day. I don't know if man had that much money. It looks like he could do something. I mean,
I mean, I'd pay somebody good money to do something to fix that mess, wouldn't you? It looks funny. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you believe it's wrong for a man to have hair put on? I said, no, I don't think that's wrong. If my hair was coming out, I'd put something in there too. I'd sew something or do something. I don't think that's no more wrong than a woman putting on lipstick. I mean, if you want too fine, I don't think it's a sin. If you don't want too fine, you don't have to fool with it or comb it or nothing. But Donald Trump, Lord, as much money as he's got, I do agree with him on one thing, his assessment of Rosie O'Donnell. I thought he nailed her pretty good, didn't he? Amen. I saw that on the news. They was having a big feud back and forth, and he was saying she's this and she's that, and I said, amen, amen, amen. Preach it. Preach it. And what's up with these people? Well, I want to say first of all tonight, and I'm going to say these quickly, become great so that some of them may become monuments of God's mercy. Did you know God takes some wicked people and lets them become great and then saves them and they become a monument of the mercy of God? The Apostle Paul was such a person. Oh, Paul the Apostle, buddy, I tell you what, he was a great man. He had an education. He had everything a person could want. He was going around and God let him get way up, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, could speak several languages, and he was on the road to Damascus one day and met the Lord. And as high up as he went up, he went that far down. And he was he came down and he went and preached. And God let some people go way up so that when he saves them, like Billy Sunday. Do you know that Billy C. held the National League record of running the bases? He'd run the bases barefooted. And he could run the bases faster than anybody in the National Baseball League. And God saved him. And he started running back and forth in church, preaching everything. That doctor the other day told me, he said, now Danny, he said, you can't play no sports for like a year. He said, I want you playing sports for a year. And I said, what? He said, you can't do it. I said, I didn't tell him that when I preach, I do more than a lot of people playing tennis. I didn't tell him that I jumped on the piano stool and climbed over the communion table, jumped over pews and turned flips and sat on my head and everything else. But I guess he probably thought I was crazy. But old Billy Sunday, he'd come running around through here, flying this way, that way, that way, wound up preaching in his under T-shirt and wound up walking on his britches legs, sweating, soaking wet. And God saved him so that he could make a bet. People said, remember when he was a baseball player? Remember when he was this? Remember when he was that? God lets some people get real famous, then saves them so that he can use their testimony. So if you were real good at something before you got saved and you was well known, God sometimes saves them to make a monument of the mercy of God. What a blessing that is. I'll tell you one right now. I don't have a lot of confidence in a lot of many movie stars, profession of faith. A lot of them claim to be saved. I'm not saying they're not. Sometimes their life don't really, you know, change that much and everything. But I tell you, an old boy, I believe it got it. You know, George Foreman, he says he loves the Lord. And I believe he's saved. I believe a man's saved, loves the Lord. I tell you, old Reggie Sadler. I don't know if many know Brother Reggie Sadler. Reggie used to play in some old backup bands for some famous rock groups and travel around different countries. And old Reggie, he got at Disney World. And Reggie had a black Elvis act. And if you've never seen him do it, he can act just like Elvis Presley. He did it at Disney World. Well known, very well known. And old Brother Reggie, he can do his guitar thing. He can do his leg. He can do everything. He said, I come out and say, ladies and gentlemen, here he comes, the man that brought us Love Me Tender. And my blue suede shoes. And hell, this Presley. And he'd come out and everybody go, like that, you know. And he'd walk up to the preacher. Like that, you know. And he can do just like it. Don't be cruel. You know, like that. He can sound just like it. It's amazing. And God saved him. He went to church one Sunday morning out in Los Angeles. And the preacher preached. And God got a hold of his heart. And Brother Reggie got saved. And now he travels the world preaching and singing. He called me the other day. I didn't get to talk to him. He left me a message on my machine. And I remember he first came up there to New Manor. He just got saved and started singing. That little girl about that high, he said, this little old girl here listens to you preach on the radio every day, and she wants to meet you in person. He said, we're a singing group. Can we sing? And I took one look at him and said, come over here in my office. And we went in my office, and I said, sing. And they sang a song. I said, yeah, you can sing. And boy, I'm telling you, it wasn't long after that till they just went big time. Now, he's big time now. I talked to him not long ago, and I run into him somewhere, and I said, Brother Reggie, when you going to come to youth rally? And he said, Brother Danny, this time. I said, remember, I knowed you when you was nothing. And I tell you what a blessing he is. God does. I tell you somebody else I believe that God saved. Some of these movie stars, I don't put a lot of stock in the conversion. But there's a young man by the name of Kirk Cameron. Now, Kirk Cameron, that boy got the goods. He got saved. Amen? He got saved. And he played on some show. What was the name of the show he played on? Growing Pains. I never watched that, but he's one of these little baby-faced boys that when he's 40, he still looks like 16. And that boy got the goods. He got saved. And he's been playing in some of these movies. And he's got a TV show where he takes a microphone and goes up and asks people, if you died tonight, where would you go? And I mean, he puts it on them. He puts it on him. I believe he got saved. And now Kirk Cameron goes around the country and people say, man, he used to be on Growing Pains. He used to be on Growing Pains. He used to be on Growing Pains. Now he's a preacher. And a lot of them turn their back on him. Of course, he didn't have to do that. They'll drop you. Somebody asked me, they said, when somebody like that gets saved, they stay in Hollywood. If you really get right with God, brother, Hollywood will drop you like you had a double dose of AIDS. I mean, they have no fellowship with you. Somebody said this, the man who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. Amen? I said, the man who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. And that's what Kirk Cameron did. And he got saved by the grace of God. So God let some of them become great so he can make a monument of His mercy. Number two, the reason the wicked prosper and get great and important is they become old and mighty in power that they might build for the righteous. Did you know a lot of times God uses wicked people to build stuff and then Christians can get it and use it? That's scriptural. I mean, Christians are using satellite TV. Christians are using radio. I preach on radio 6 days a week. I preach on the radio and have for nearly 27, 8 years. And brother, every day there's thousands of people. Here's our services right out of this church because some sinner invented the radio. And I thank God they did. Amen. Now, that's scriptural. Do you know that? In Moses' day, Pharaoh built that big kingdom and God used that to raise baby Moses. In Daniel's day, the king had all that wicked stuff, but God let Daniel and his men enjoy the benefits of the king there, Belshazzar. Every day we enjoy benefits that were created and made by lost people. Microwave ovens, air condition, washers and dryers, a lot of these material things, telephone, telegraph, all of these things. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, the Bible said. And lots of times God lets them do things and then lets us have them. What a blessing that is. So I said, first of all, God lets wicked people become great so that they become monuments of His mercy. Second, God lets them become great so that they might build for the righteous. Third, God lets them become great to demonstrate God's mercy and long-suffering. Have you ever thought about that? What could prove the character of God better than watching God put up with stuff we wouldn't put up with? That proves the mercy of God. I've heard Brother Derek say up here before, and I felt the same way. He said, boy, if I was God for one day, I'm telling you, listen, all of us better hope and pray that He don't get to be God for a day. We'd all be dead. I tell you, listen, but I felt the same way. I thought, hey, what if you got to be God? What if God said, all right, you're going to get to be God for a day? Would that be cool or what? I'd say, all right, Lord, show me how to run this thing. And the Lord would say, all right, here's... I said, how do you make lightning flash? And He'd say, push this little button right here. And I'd say, okay. Okay. And I'd wait till that guy that's old wicked, they say, Bill O'Reilly, them have him on there. He's wicked. Lord, he's wicked. His name's Bill Maher, or Mill Maher, or Maher, or something like that. And he's got a show, and all he does is cuss what's right and George Bush. And nothing's a sin except Christians and George Bush. He hates them. And I'd let him get started telling a big joke. I'd go, and fry him like that. Shoot him about 100 volts. And every time he said something against God, I'd just jolt him like that. If I was God, that's what I'd do. And boy, if I was God, well, I mean, I'd get to, there's one show on my satellite TV. They got a free speech channel. And they have a show called Gay USA. Gay USA. And on there, and the whole thing, they just laugh and mock and make fun of God and the Bible and know about how stupid Christians are for not accepting the gay lifestyle. Somebody told me, I don't have this on my TV, but you might call Logo. It's a Logo channel. And they say that's just all it is, the homosexual doctrine. Move all the time. If I was the Lord for one day, I'd just go like it, you know. If I was the Lord for one day, I'd wait till they got good and started and just, you know, just do something wild like that. But you know something? God lets them go on to show His mercy and God's grace. Because the truth is, I ought to be zapped with lightning. The truth is, you ought to be zapped with lightning. We don't have no business pointing a finger at Bill Maher, brother. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be fried. But God lets them prosper so that it shows His mercy and grace. God told Moses in Exodus 34 and verse 6 that He was long-suffering. Excuse me. And He was going to prove it. He put up with the priest. He put up with Hitler. He put up with Mussolini. He put up with Lenin and Stalin. And before He finally sent them on into hell, God gave Hitler many, many years and saw the bleeding, dying creation. And if you could do it, we'd stop it. But God put up with it. God in His mercy and grace put up with it to show that He was long-suffering. In Fairbanks, Alaska in the 1940s, there was a man who owned saloons. And he'd get up on pool tables and have mock prayer meetings. And thank God for the bottles of whiskey. And thank God for his malady. You know what? Did you know did God strike him with lightning? No. Did the Lord burn the place down? No. The Lord had mercy on him and saved him and gave him a tract ministry. And for 10 years, he went back to them places witnessing, giving out tracts. He became a monument of the mercy of God Almighty. Let me tell you this. There's a man in the Philippines in the 1945 in the Philippines who had some talent to draw, and he drawed a picture of the Lord's Supper, and he made them all drunk and had the Lord's eyes crawl. Everybody in there drunk, and everybody got a big laugh out of it. And did God send him to hell? No. That was in 1945. Did God send him to hell? No. In 1949, God saved him. His name was Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. And Dr. Ruckman got to said he went back to the Philippines. He said, I owe the Lord something. Went back to the Philippines on a mission trip and painted a real picture of the Lord's Supper and painted it right. And he said, the mercy of God had mercy on me those days. Listen, God lets the wicked prosper so He can save them and make trophies of grace out of them. And He does that. Maybe that will help you to answer that question. Number four, I'll hurry. God lets the wicked prosper to make their overthrow more spectacular when it comes. Now what do I mean by that? I mean Pharaoh was big. Pharaoh was big. And he was an absolute monarch. Pharaoh was the absolute monarch. He said who lived and died. Pharaoh had absolute control, dictatorship over the land in that day. And old Pharaoh, he'd had that. And you know what God did? God let him go. Go and go and go and go, and finally he wasn't going to repent, so God said, pow. And the old saying goes, the bigger they are, harder they fall. And God does that to make their overthrow more spectacular when it comes. We saw that this week in Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein, for years and years, it might as well have been God in Iraq. Brother, he could snap his fingers and have your head took off. He could kill you. Have you? He's had a million people, they said, put to death. And Saddam Hussein went down, brother. They found him like a dog hiding in that old hole that day. And then they hung him, they say, the other day. And they claim they did. And, buddy, I'll tell you something. He got enough money to... There ain't no telling. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, that old boy went down. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. They said, Grace Metalius, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She wrote an old book years ago, Peyton Place. And Peyton Place was an old wicked, like a soap opera novel, and about all the everybody in the community committing adultery and everybody running around and cheating and lying and everything. And they made a movie out of it, Peyton Place, in a series like a soap opera. And she bought Cadillacs and stayed drunk all the time. And that woman died, and 25 people come to her funeral. 25 people. About that same time, this old preacher died, thousands of his funeral. General William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, and Catherine Booth, And then, when them people died, there's thousands of people walked around their casket. And some of these people that made their life living in sin, not nobody showed up for the funeral. Their overthrow was more spectacular. Can you imagine Saddam Hussein? And the last thing he said was, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." And still have loyal people dancing around him. And that noose go around that neck and break that neck. And he wake up and there's fire around him and demons are laughing. He said, "Leave me alone!" And they said, "You ain't nobody down here but just like everybody else." And threw him in the fire and watched him scream. God lets people prosper to make their overthrow spectacular when it comes. John Lennon, same way. Old John Lennon, boy, he said, "We're more popular than the Beatles." John Lennon said, "Let it be." John Lennon sang, "Hey Jude," and they sung "Lucy in the Isle of Diamonds," LSD. "I get high with a little help from my friends." "Yellow Submarine," like a little yellow pill that they're all taking. All that stuff. "We're more popular than Jesus. We do whatever we want to." Yoko, John, they all said, then that if Yoko Ono married Son O Bono, you know her name would be Yoko Ono Bono. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, him and Yoko paraded her marriage bed across the aisle. You ought to know Greek stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you something, brother, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how wicked he was. And one day, right outside his apartment there in New York City, BAM! I just about jumped. And bullet right through his head, and there laid John Lennon. "Give peace a chance." Yeah. "All we are saying," he's bleeding to death. "Imagine there's no heaven." It's too late now, John. He opened his eyes and he lifted them to hell, screaming and begging God for another chance. God let him go to the top of the world and he wound up in hell. Make their overthrow more spectacular. Princess Diana. And I think Princess Diana did a lot of good, and she was probably a fine lady and all that. I don't know if she was saved or not. I hope she was. But she wasn't living right them last few months of her life. And buddy, that Mercedes come flying through that tunnel that night and into that. You know what that shows? You don't get too big, you don't get too rich, you don't get too powerful for God to bring you down. Don't anybody in here ever, you never get too big for your britches, because God can jerk the rug out from under you anytime He wants to. I'm telling you this evening, God lets them up! And then when they go down, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Number 5, God lets the wicked prosper to show there's a future day of judgment. Everything don't get straightened out here. Their livestock, Job, their livestock reproduces. They make money. Everything they touch turns to gold. Lord, how come? Lord, I've lost my kids. Lord, my barn's burned up. Lord, I'm having a terrible time. These people living like a devil. And everything, why is that, God? You know, God's been good to me, but I've had my share of battles. I've had my share of battles. I'm like you. I'm made out of the same stuff you are. I mean, there's been a couple of times, and I don't ever get down much, and there's been a couple of times when I thought, maybe even in the last one day, I was fooling around trying to get my socks on, couldn't get my socks on. Chris, I did happen to put my socks on, but, you know, but there's everything else. Nobody can help me. And I got aggravated one day, and I got trying to put my britches on, and then I got trying to look around my room, and it was all to pieces, and then I thought about this ain't done, and that ain't done, and my bills ain't paid, and this ain't done, or that ain't done. And I thought, Lord. And right when I thought that, I felt guilty. And I thought, shut up, you little brat. You ought to be shouting your head off. But if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking, now, Lord, I'm trying. You know I'm trying. And here's these other people. They got this and they got that and they got this.